It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. There are many things that can be said about Michael Smirkanish and why I just absolutely love him as a fan. Nothing beyond that. It is the only hour, as far as I'm concerned, of original programming on cable news, period. Does a terrific show on Sirius Satellite Radio. Best-selling author, accomplished attorney. But I think the thing that really stands out for Michael Smirkanish and me is that he's trying to get all of us out of our bubble. And what he's doing now with something called the Mingle Project is incredibly exciting. We're going to talk about it in a moment. Very, very happy to welcome back to the program the one and only Michael Smirkanish. Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Frank, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, congratulations on your 10-year anniversary. And don't take this the wrong way, I have no idea how you've made it 10 years on CNN or any cable news network, because your show is just so different from the rest of what's on CNN. How have you been able to hide out that long, Michael?
I'm very fortunate that both at SiriusXM and CNN, I'm given wide latitude, wide berth. And I say to people, if you don't like the content, if you don't like the guest, if you don't like the commentary, blame me, because for better or worse, I'm the one who's making the decisions as to what you're going to hear or what you're going to watch. And I think that's really been to my advantage. I also think the fact that I'm Philly based and I'm not in the bubble and I'm not caught up in the groupthink. And you would understand this, Frank, doing what you do for a living. The radio work that I do is a great proving ground for television, because things that have worked well on radio or issues that I've gotten into that I don't think are being covered by the cable world, I'm able to then incorporate into my television program. And not everything works. I mean, you're on the air for a long shift. I'm on the air for a long shift. And it's almost like Major League Baseball. If you're a 300 hitter, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And I'm only taking my best stuff to television, because, you know, why would I take the things that I was disappointed in?
Yeah, it's a lot easier for me when it comes to topic selection, because I just steal whatever's in the newsletter at smirkanish.com, and most of those are right on the money when it comes to topics. By the way, if people are not reading your newsletter, I do encourage them, go to smirkanish.com, sign up for the newsletter. It really tells you everything that you need to know, including a lot of stories that nobody else is talking about. Where you find all these headlines and all these talk topics and stories, it's a testament to the amount of show prep you're doing.
Look, it's free and it's worthy, and you sign up for it, and at 8 a.m. Eastern time in your email in bin, I'm giving you 20 links that are drawn from the left, they're drawn from the right, they're drawn from the center. And the comment that I most hear is that people say, I scroll through your newsletter, and after 2 or 3 minutes, I walk out the door knowing what are the big stories of the day and what do I need to know. And that's high praise.
Michael, you're a true independent in every sense of the word, and we lost a real American patriot yesterday, also someone that has the distinction of being one of only three independents this century elected to the U.S. Senate. Give me your thoughts, your reaction on the passing of former Senator Joe Lieberman.
Oh, my gosh. I was so saddened to hear the news, and I immediately took to X, and I said this. I said, such a gentleman, a model of civility, a patriot, great sense of humor, a true no-labels role model insofar as he was the Democratic vice presidential candidate in 2000, as everybody knows. But within 8 years, he was under serious consideration to be the Republican vice presidential candidate in 2008. I had the privilege of interviewing him on many occasions over the years. One funny encounter, Frank, when the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, and he was out stumping for his good friend John McCain, and he wanted to come on my radio show, but it was the day of the Phillies victory parade. And I was in a second story of a restaurant looking down on the parade route. And we said, Senator, we'd love to have you, but you got to come over to the parade location. And he did, and it was funny because the only color sweater that he had packed for the trip was red, which we had great fun in talking about how it was Phillies red. He was just a joy to be around. He really, really was. And the last interview that I did with him was within the last month, talking about No Labels. I don't know who fills that void, as you point out. So few like him.
You know, I just interviewed him a couple of days ago, and he very passionate about everything that's going on with No Labels. Do you think without a high profile spokesman like him, No Labels is going to have a much harder time mobilizing popular support and donor support?
I think he provided a lot of comfort and sage-like counsel, not only to the organization, but he was also a guy who had credibility. So if he would come on your program, if he would come on my program and he would talk about it, you'd take him seriously in a way that not many others would be afforded, you know, the benefit of the doubt. I think that's how I'd say it.
We're talking with Michael Smirkanish. Michael, if people are hearing you for the first time, what I love about you is you kind of challenge where they come from. People are so accustomed to eating turkey and mash every day, turkey and mash, getting either left-wing content or right-wing content. You go, and this is what I love about you, and I try to do this, you go all over the place, and you're totally unpredictable in your predictions, the topics that you're going to cover, and you've been more willing on both radio and TV to focus on some of the third party options. Two of the third party options that have gotten the most attention in this cycle have been the No Labels movement. There was talk of Larry Hogan. There was talk of Joe Manchin. Looks like those are not coming to fruition. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We don't know who the No Labels candidate is going to be yet, but we know now who the Kennedy-Shanahan ticket is going to consist of. In a minute, give me your thoughts on the third-party options this year, and you think they can make a meaningful impact?
So you can't beat somebody with nobody. I think that in the abstract, and I'm thinking of No Labels now, in the abstract, people overwhelmingly like the idea. 70% don't want, they say to pollsters, don't want Biden and they don't want Trump. So there's a market out there for an opportunity, and you couple that with the fact that a plurality of the country say they are independent, that they're not Republican or Democratic or progressive. It leaves an opportunity. But then, Frank, you say, okay, who? And No Labels is struggling. I mean, No Labels so far has no candidate so far. And some of those marquee names that might be out there about which we could agree, I guess, are not interested in doing what's necessary to run for president. When people say to me, give me a name, who, if you could just like write in a name and they would automatically be the president, who would it be? And I say Admiral William McRaven is my top choice, or maybe Admiral James Stavridis, two guys of distinguished moral character and military service, solid citizens. I don't even know whether they're left or right on particular issues. I just believe so much in either one of them. But No Labels has not been able to come up with a ticket, much less a presidential candidate thus far. And I'm not convinced that they will. RFK Jr., I don't accept the conventional wisdom that says he's going to harm Joe Biden, because I followed him closely. I paid attention to the speech earlier this week with Nicole Shanahan, just like I did the speech when he first announced. And if you pay close attention to what he's offering, it's not entirely left or right. It's very nuanced. And I think I could see him pulling from Trump and pulling from Biden in equal numbers. I don't know. It's too soon. But you know, because, and I thank you for this, because you pay attention to things that I say, I think we're better served when we have more choices. And I don't get caught up in the game of, well, this person's a spoiler and that person's a spoiler. The more the merrier. Let them all run and go earn your keep if you want to defeat a third party candidate.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
Amen. And if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Michael Smirkanish. Michael, I want to talk to you about the Mingle Project, which I think is very exciting. But really, I think the fundamental aspect of what makes the Mingle Project exciting and what you do on radio and TV makes that exciting is getting people out of their bubble. It's one of the reasons I was hopeful when NBC News announced the hiring of Ronna McDaniel, because there's no one on NBC News, really, or MSNBC, that deviates from the standard party line. There's no Trump supporters at all explaining that the 45 to 50% of the country that supports Trump are not beamed here from some foreign planet. I guess that didn't work out too well, did it?
So I believe that, you know, I personally want to sell sneakers to Republicans and Democrats and independents. And I want all voices heard on my programs. And I invite guests from a variety of perspectives. I think it's not only good content, but I also think it's in the best interest of the country. And I think that bad things happen when we all resort to our ideologically driven media silos, where it's either a Fox News world or it's an MSNBC world, which I don't think is a real depiction of the real world, because the people that I'm exposed to or that I meet when I travel around the country, they see the world as, you know, a mixed perspective. Maybe they're conservative on economic issues and more liberal or progressive on social issues, but you don't get that typically in a lot of media outlets. So it's a long-winded way of me saying that I thought it was a good thing for NBC and MSNBC to have, I'm not sure if this is the best descriptor, but a MAGA representative. Whether it should have been Ronna McDaniel, I don't know. But I think that the 45 or 46% of this country who are ready to go vote for Donald Trump again need to be given a seat at the table and need to have their voices heard. Doesn't mean that you have to accept everything they say, but I don't believe in being exclusionary.
I'm sure they're going to love her replacement, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, or Stephen Miller, whoever it ends up being.
Right.
All right. The Mingle Project. This is very exciting. It's coming to my backyard, Long Island, Monday, June 17th. Tickets just went on sale this week. Explain to folks what the Mingle Project is, Michael.
Can you give me directions to Northport? Because I'm a fish out of water. You know, it's funny. If you say Long Island to me, do you know what I think of? The Nassau County Coliseum, where in the spring of 1980, I was one of the very few and privileged who got to see Pink Floyd perform The Wall. That's my first great memory of the island. The Mingle Project is me on a crusade to try and instill or restore civility, to talk about compromise, and to draw attention to the fact that for the three decades I've had a microphone in front of me, I have seen the increase of this polarization in our social, in our media, in our social media, and in our politics. And now you throw in the role of technology and the way that it's fueling self-sorting and keeping our kids not together, but encouraging them to be apart from one another and not having in-person experiences and common experiences. And I've interviewed so many authors who've enlightened me on this subject. Jonathan Haidt, just this week, who released a book called The Anxious Generation, or Robert Putnam, who wrote Bowling Alone, Bill Bishop, The Big Sort, Gene Twenge, I Generation. And what I try to do is tie together the very latest thinking from the social psychologists, the political insight that I have, some anecdote, and hopefully a little bit of humor. And I'm making a pitch. I'm saying we got to get together despite our political differences. And here's how and why we need to do it. And frankly, getting together in a theater like I'm going to in Northport is itself mingling. Frank, I think about my parents. You know, I grew up in a small community outside of Philadelphia. My dad, who was a school teacher and then guidance counselor, he refereed high school and college football. He belonged to the Masonic Lodge. He was in the Rotary Club. Mom was in the VIA, which was a women's group that raised money for the local hospital. In other words, they were very active in their community. They established what we would refer to as social ties or weak ties. And today, we are less a society of volunteers and joiners, and instead, we're leading sheltered existences. Well, for the good of the country and for the good of our own mental health, we got to break out of our bubbles. That is the Mingle Project.
I think it's great. And you've chronicled the issues of an uptick in depression, an uptick in things like loneliness, a decline
definitely
in something as elementary as people having sex. And that all comes with no interpersonal interaction. I'm hoping to be there on June 17th. It's going to be at the John Engelman Theater in Northport. How do people get tickets if they want to go, Michael?
You know what? It's easily Googled because of the theater and through my social media. So if they simply put in the name of the theater, which is spelled E-N-G-E-M-A-N or Smirkanish, you'll find it easily. I give a shout out to an 89-year-old gent on the island named Charles Reichert. He's a retired grocer. He did very well, and then he started to do good, meaning he made money, and that's a good thing. And then he became a philanthropist for kids and for cops and first responders. And I met Charlie years ago, and he's the one who put the bug in my ear and said, "You speak all over the country. Will you please come to Long Island?" And if it weren't for Charlie Reichert, I wouldn't be coming on June 17, but I can't wait to be there.
Wonderful. I'm going to lead a similar mission to get you back to Staten Island. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Good luck with
the
Mingle
Project.
Thanks
for inviting me. It's always a privilege, Frank. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. See Michael Smirkanish on Smirkanish every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's then replayed usually at 3 p.m. Eastern. It is appointment watching in our house. Even my two-year-old son, Carmine, when I turn the television on Saturday morning, he says in a very babyish sort of voice, Smirkanish. Even he knows it's time to watch Smirkanish. You can also certainly listen to him on Sirius XM or check out the great headlines he puts together every day at Smirkanish.com. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.